first item was to ever have a barcode on it and get scanned at a checkout?
Matt, I actually do, and it's a package of Wrigley's Spearmint Gum. And if I remember right, I think it was 1974. That was about the time frame that a product was actually utilized for barcoding and scanning.
That's right. It was a grocery store, and on June 26, 1974.
June 26, exact. Okay. I didn't get the month, but I got the year.
It was a pack of Wrigley's Juicy Fruit. But since today we're talking a little more RFID, do you know when the first RFID was actually used?
I do. And if I didn't know that, I would be probably in trouble, since that's our business. But yes, RFID was first utilized back in World War II. Specifically, I think the year was 1935 is when RFID first started to be recognized and then utilized for the war effort.
Wow. That, ladies and gentlemen, is your history lesson for the day.
That's right.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Traceability Talk, Episode 1. Today is all about radio frequency identification, commonly known as RFID, and specifically about leveraging RFID technology to create labor savings. In retail, AIDC technologies like barcodes and RFID have already delivered remarkable results, cutting labor expenses by as much as 30% and increasing inventory accuracy to over 95%. But now it's time for the food industry to really follow suit. So today we're talking about the potential of these tried and true innovations and how embracing these technologies can really transform your ops efficiency in the QSR and the grocery sector. And to lead this discussion today, we have two titans in the industry, Brian Wood from PLM TrustLink, which, if you're not familiar with PLM TrustLink, it's a software platform that provides end-to-end tracking and tracing of products throughout the supply chain. We're also joined by industry expert George Deich from Impinj, a company that develops and manufactures RFID technology. So, Brian, George, let's kick it off. George, I would love for you to just introduce yourself. Give us a little bit of the who you are and what you do.
Thank you, Matt and Brian. Happy to join with you today in this podcast. So my name is George Deich. I lead product management for Impinj, the endpoint ICs. These are the radio chips that are in the tags and labels that basically give it the intelligence and performance as the tagged item moves through the global supply chain. I first entered RFID in the year 2004 at Avery Dennison. So I spent almost 20 years, two decades in the RFID industry, from tag testing to consulting with customers and technology partners, and a lot of education, trials. You know, I got bumps and bruises to show, you know, what we've been through over the years. And it's been a lot of fun just helping customers understand the value and power and benefit of the technology. And prior to that, I was actually an R&D engineer in the wireless communication industry in Dallas, Texas. So I've been in wireless most of my career. So happy to be here.
So you understand the like invisible world that's happening.
I think probably in college, it was like, I can't see it. So I did electrical engineering, radio frequency, but you could describe it mathematically. So that was kind of fascinating, and joined Avery Dennison when they started it up as an internal startup for the business. It's a platform that will be around for a very long time. While it was first started many, many, many years ago, it's going to be here to stay.
Thanks, George. Brian, if you could also just introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about what inspired PLM TrustLink really to pursue RFID as, you know, a labor saving solution for your customers. And maybe just tell us a little bit about that story.
Sure. Well, there's a really cool and unique story on PLM TrustLink. My role at PLM TrustLink really goes back to the very beginning of the creation of PLM TrustLink, which was back in about 2018. I'm responsible for our sales, biz dev, revenue generation efforts, as well as just partner engagements. So we work extremely closely with George and the Impinj organization, as well as some other partners throughout the RFID specific industry. My background goes way back. Do not want to want to talk about my age at all here, but my experience goes way back into the technology sector, whether it was hardware or software. I spent a great deal of time in software startups, etc. But in about mid-20 teens, I started getting involved with RFID, specifically with a company called SmartTrack Technology Group that we were at the time an RFID manufacturer. And at that time, we had an introduction to an organization called PLM Fleet. And PLM Fleet is North America's largest refrigerated trailer leasing and renting organization. PLM Fleet has about 15,000 refrigerated trailers rolling all over North America. PLM and me and my team at SmartTrack started talking about the need for organizations within the food industry to really have the ability to track product at the food level or food space product going through the supply chain, going from a food producer, a wholesaler, a food distributor, retail grocer, ultimately, you know, in the consumer's hands. PLM Fleet has a really unique position in this space because PLM Fleet obviously is already providing solutions for food distribution, food wholesaling, et cetera. And PLM Fleet's customers were really looking for some opportunity there to get more visibility to their product. So long story short, what has now been created is PLM TrustLink. So it's a software platform leveraging RFID on the front end to track and trace food products specifically through the supply chain. So we're leveraging expertise in the RFID world, and then combined with some really, really unique and powerful software development that we've literally created over the last 5 years to take to the food industry space, the food industry market. So PLM TrustLink today only plays in the food industry space. We target 4 specific market segments: food producers, wholesalers, food distributors, retail grocers, and then QSRs, restaurants. So what that enables organizations within those market segments to do, Matt, is they can track product from literally origin to destination, leveraging our software and software expertise to be able to have that visibility for that product. So not only does that enable a significant amount of labor savings, which we're probably going to be talking about here today, and certainly operational efficiencies, but then also it provides visibility and reporting opportunities for FDA compliance, regulatory compliance standards, etc. So there's a lot here, a lot to unpack, but we're very excited. But at the end of the day, PLM TrustLink literally is doing hard things and creating solutions for those hard things for the food industry.
So we know that like this technology has been a game changer in retail, and you guys are really bringing it to the forefront in the food industry. Tell me, so what are some of these, like, I guess, real world examples of labor savings that you guys have seen, George or Brian, in the industry so far?
I can jump in and kind of start with a bit of retail and show how it crosses over into food, because there's very similar kind of supply chain, you know, activities. But if you think of within a store, so the first thing is, you know, what's the inventory accuracy of what you have in the store? So over time, you have to count that inventory to know, is it accurate versus what the system tells you you have on hand. So on the early days of RFID, there were retailers who said, hey, I've got to first acknowledge they have an inventory inaccuracy situation. I won't call it a problem. It's more of a situation that can be solved. And it's well documented that 60 to 80% of what you think you have is accurate. So that means you've got a large inaccuracy. And so that leads to cycle counts that take a long time that become perpetually inaccurate over time. So when you think about the product itself, whether it's a case of food or apparel item by itself or in a case, it's moving through the supply chain. So if you can first identify what you have, where it is, the technology allows you to count wirelessly, quickly. So you can do cycle counts on a monthly, weekly basis, for example, and you can go from that 60 to 80% accuracy to 99% or plus. And you see that also in the food supply chain. I believe I've seen numbers where, you know, in QSRs, it's, you know, 60% accuracy. Companies might say, I've got 100% accuracy, but they're putting a lot of labor to get that accuracy. So it's the cost of the accuracy is the way to look at it. And within your process, you have inefficiencies that then become observed or identified when you start deploying RFID. So I think just from that, you know, think about RFID as three elements. Is the item identifier available? Is it accurate? And then can you take action? Taking that, ingesting it into the software to take action on it. But we've just seen where fundamentally get your items tagged so you can identify what you have, where you have it, and then you start layering in benefits. And the first one you see is I can count more often with less labor. I can have better accuracy with less labor. And your employees who are actually doing the counting are happier.
Brian, what about you? Have you seen any real world labor savings like that?
Significant is actually a really good word. I mean, and what we see within PLM TrustLink and the customers that we work with today, when you look at how the food industry manages products throughout the supply chain, arguably, it's very inefficient. You take a food distributor, for example, they're collecting and are engaged with a number of different food producing suppliers, food suppliers. Those food suppliers are putting on some sort of identification of that product on that case, i.e. a label. Typically, it's just a standard label. It's not really, in many cases, not even a barcode label. So as that product comes into the distribution facility, as it hits that receiving dock door, that organization then has to reapply some sort of identification so they can get that into their system. And then when that product moves into their warehouse, they then have to go and collect that product for selecting and then building up of an order for them to be able to ship that to a customer. So they're using their newly applied label for identification purposes to select it. And then oftentimes they're putting on yet another label to show that that product goes to a certain customer at a certain destination, a certain point in time. So now if you think about that, there's labor that's been applied to this one case of product in at least three different stops. So what if, you know, which is, and we do a lot of these discussions at PLM TrustLink. What if you took an RFID label at the source or at the origin, as that case of lettuce, romaine lettuce, is being put into a case, it's being harvested, it's putting into a case. Why not put an RFID label right there on that case? And then all of a sudden that case starts to transfer itself through the supply chain. There's no other need for labor to apply a different label, to recognize it in their own WMS systems, warehouse management systems, et cetera. They can use that same label at the dock door, for example, with a fixed reader or even handheld reader. They can read that product identifiable information from that label, from its origin. They have that information now in their system. They can go and they can store it. They can go and pick it once again, using the same label, because the product itself hasn't changed. The product is still there. It's still romaine lettuce. It's just changed a couple of hands. So why not just keep the same identifier, i.e. an RFID label, with that product as it goes through those stages? So if you can do that, you're saving a tremendous amount of labor by not having to print out labels, reapply labels, go and store it, come back with a new label, reapply it, and then put it together on a pallet and then ship it. So as we talk about labor savings and really look at that illustration, and we see it all the time, that would be a huge benefit and use case for RFID.
With all those passing of hands, right? I feel like maybe a common thing you might hear is that it's just too complex. Like, what would you say to somebody who's just like, RFID is too complex, for lack of a better way to say it, like all those complexities there? Like, how would you guys do that?
I think it's complex because they don't maybe perhaps have a full understanding of what it is, how it works. And I think with the industry today, it used to be back in the early days, what is it? How does it work? And so companies were hiring PhDs out of college and researchers to really study this. And I think the evolution of the technology where, you know, the tag label itself can be applied to many different types of product categories that have liquid or metal and different things. The infrastructure and readers that are available, they are pretty well tested and vetted in the marketplace. So I think there's an element of you kind of crawl, walk, run type approach, which is you need to have a champion inside the company. There are use cases out in the marketplace that can show you this real value. and you just kind of walk the customer through what is your current process. And as Brian talked about the number of touches that a product might get handled, you can look at that and say, what if you could reduce that by 50% less touches, right? Or do a proof of concept, do a technology test. And those can be 30 days or less, or 45 days to actually say, let's pick a category, you know, map the process as is. We can bring tags in, get the hardware, get the software, and you can run for a number of weeks a very simple test to educate, learn, and see very meaningful results very quickly. And that opens up people's eyes right away. Like, and usually they have a perception of, you know, 15 years ago, it's too expensive, too hard. It's not going to work on my product. It's got a lot of liquid. The technology has advanced pretty far where you can do it today. So it becomes a question of, you know, why are you not looking at RFID? It's a tool. Don't shy from it, but lean in and embrace it, because it's very eye-opening. And the one question I always love asking people who have just started implementing or been running it for maybe a year's time is, what were some aha moments in your pilot or your test? And invariably, they always say, we didn't realize how many gaps we had in our current process. So if you think about, man, I'm touching these products many times, I'm putting a lot of labor because of these inefficiencies that maybe they haven't seen, RFID will actually highlight those areas. And then you just think, okay, I can become even more efficient than I thought. And there's an excitement level that happens because results lead to more results. It's infectious too. So you say, okay, I'm on board. And people usually, once they get that first taste of it, they're like, I'm all in, I'm gonna try this. And then they need help from the ecosystem, like companies like Impinj and PLM TrustLink, to help guide them through that learning phase, proof of tech, and even the business case to help them show a path to a return on investment, you know, and you can see results pretty quick.
Have you seen other aha moments?
Yeah, go ahead, Brian. Do you have some?
Well, I was just gonna add a little bit to what George was saying, and the aha moment really came, again, I'm using real world experiences here. If we take a look back during COVID times, people were asked to stay home. Well, the food industry still had to operate. People still had to eat. You still had to go get food. So the aha moment at that point for the food industry is, we don't have labor today. Nobody's here in our warehouse. How are we going to get food selected, palletized on a truck, you know, to its destination? Right? That's when automation started to click in. If we're having a challenge here with labor, what can we do with automation to offset some of that challenge? That's when RFID started to really be a focus with many organizations within the food space, only because not only that need to fill in that gap, that labor gap at that time, but also recognizing, and this is, I think, to George's point, RFID technology in and of itself has come a long way since 1935.
And to add to what Brian said, some of the savings that you might see just from a pure time perspective, imagine a shipment of your quick serve restaurant and you received a shipment that's now in your back room. So as the manager, you come into the store, now you need to take that inventory, check it in. So you're coming in really early before the restaurant opens, you're getting things prepped. So what we've seen over various different trials and pilots is that you can take something from hours down to minutes, right? So you can say, I've saved a lot of time of having to check that I received it, validate that I received it. So hours become minutes, and that saves time for the manager to then focus on other value-added services, right? Make sure the employees are, you know, set up ready for the day, and you have that customer facing experience. And you might see that there's product that sits idle. So there's a dwell time effect that says, my goodness, there's product that's been sitting and I haven't moved it. So you can start rotating your inventory differently from a first in, first out, perhaps maybe by freshness date or use by date, because you have that data that's available. And that's the key thing, I think, just when you think about RFID and a tagged item, that the identifier and information about it, whether you have it as a, you know, you've got an identifier and you can put a lot of attributes in the cloud related to the identifier, it's available, it's accurate. And within the software, then you can then take action on that. So you start to see things that you didn't know happened before. And it allows, the inventory rotation and you know, process to change. And you actually reduce labor and time because you were inefficient before. a lot of interesting things where, you know, you may not reduce labor, but you've made your labor more efficient, right? And you find that because you've been inefficient without the use of RFID, the tendency is to add more labor over time. So you can start to right size your business to say, I'm maintaining sales growth, but I've got a balanced labor force, and I'm creating these tools to help the labor force become very efficient, because there could be a lot of turnover. And with lots of turnover, then training, that adds cost and time to the manager. So a lot of intangible benefits that then turn into financial metrics at the end of a pilot and a deployment. So they compound over time, right? And as you implement RFID.
I mean, speaking of, you know, cost savings and efficiencies, do we have any, can you guys share like a specific success story? Maybe that has measurable results from someone who's implemented RFID, or maybe your guys' processes together. Is there something, you don't have to mention the name of a company if you're not able to, but you can call it, you know, whatever you can refer to it as. But do you have any sort of like specific success story with some measurable results that you can share?
Let me take a step back, because I think there's a question around, what do you tag first? You're not going to tag everything. So there is an approach that says, you know, for a grocer or if you're in the food supply chain, what's your most challenging item? What has the most value, right? So if you're, you know, Chipotle's been very public about their use of RFID, and you think about proteins, right? That's a high value item that's critical to the success of their supply chain. So that would be an item that they would initially start tagging first. Apparel would do a very similar thing, where they might look at a category and say, wow, this category is very complex. It's got a high velocity, high inventory turnover. And I think I have inventory there, but I don't, so I'm not going to get a sales lift. So you look at high value items where you're trying to create a sales lift. At the same time, you might be looking at reducing waste. So in terms of reducing waste, I've heard a number around, you know, like there could be 3% in a supply chain of potentially waste, just because of, you know, various reasons. But if you know where product is and how to manage it through, even a, you know, small reduction in that can have huge financial benefit when you're thinking about things that have medium to low margin. But the high value items is usually what you kind of target first. So you'll see a sales lift. You start to reduce your waste and your shrink. And then you have to ask yourself the question too, is they're predicting demand. So what data are they using to predict demand, which drives their supply chain? And so if you're sending people out to count, to go out and look at what's about to expire, what's not going to expire, the time to identify something that's near expiration is very fast. You go out in minutes and determine what is good, what it has expired, so you can pull it quickly. So these are tasks that the labor force has to do, but you can make it much more efficient. So they'll take hours down to minutes type thing. And then you reduce shrink, which is typically also is waste or something's expired. And, you know, low margin product, that's a big number. So you could see double digit reduction in shrink as well. Labor savings, tens of hours a month of labor savings that you could redeploy to some other value creating activity. So I look at a tagged item as a tagged item, whether it's a luggage, a box of produce, apparel. It's a supply chain. So there's a lot of commonality and learnings that you can take from other industries and apply it into the food space. We just know in the food space, margins are different versus, say, apparel versus some other category. But there are the best approach would be to look at what category do I want to target first that's going to give me the highest return based on the value of the product. And maybe, you know, you might have a small enough revenue increase, but you get a bigger improvement on reducing shrink, which improves your margins for your business. So I'd say it's category by category. So you actually, one last thing I'll say is, if I'm a customer looking to deploy RFID, I'm going to prioritize which categories will go first, second, third, fourth. And I'm going to do my pilot and testing over a, you know, 30 to 90 day period as a proof of tech on a category that I believe, you know, can gain the most benefit from the use of the technology. And that starts the pilot phase, then eventually to roll out and scale.
Yeah, I mean, those are great points, George. I mean, if you really look at, and we are talking about labor savings here within the food industry, leveraging technologies like RFID specifically, there are incredible amounts of benefits for inventory accuracy, inventory management, other operational efficiencies that certainly benefit from RFID. But if you just look at the labor part of that, and we have use cases with customers over the last several years, just the activity, as I said earlier, about receiving product in, relabeling it, putting it away, pulling it back out, relabeling it yet again, stacking it on a pallet, getting it ready for shipment. That's just the food. That would be a food distributor. What if they didn't have to use printers, for example, for receiving of product? What if they literally just took out a handheld? And by the way, RFID is non-line of sight. So you literally could walk around a pallet that was just shipped to you, and in the matter of a few seconds, realize what product you received. That's automatically then detected into your inventory system. You go, you stock it away. That element right there saves an incredible amount of labor savings for time. And I'm with George 100% here. We're not talking about reducing your labor force. We're talking about making your labor force more efficient, i.e. that sales lift in some cases because you're able to turn inventory quicker in some cases. Now, in the food space, you want to be turning food as quickly as possible, especially if it's fresh. So the other benefit, the other element to this is when you use technologies like RFID, you're not doing the old school first in, first out type of inventory rotation. You're doing a first expiry, first out. And it takes, today, it takes labor to do that because they're looking at labels, standard labels. They're looking at when that product was produced and when it got there. They don't have to do that if there's an RFID element to that, especially if that RFID is tied to a software element that you could just look on a dashboard and see where that product is at any given time, when it was received, when the expiration date is occurring, and then you're able to pull that and pack it and get it out the door in a quicker way, more efficient way. So there's elements to that. I mean, getting to the QSR, George was mentioning, you know, Chipotle, for example. The average, not in Chipotle's case, because they are leveraging RFID today, but just if you take your average QSR, they're receiving product daily. It takes a lot of labor at that QSR to receive that product daily, to check to see if they got the right order, when it came in. And again, they're looking at that point, you know, first expiry, what are they going to use first versus, you know, what they can use maybe in a couple of days. You know, all that is labor that's being taken up, when that labor could be doing something else to make that store, for example, you know, run more smoothly, more efficiently. So when you start implementing RFID, you can take out some of those repeating tasks that the labor force has to conduct, but you get a much better, more efficient return from that task if you're leveraging opportunities like RFID and software that is tied with RFID, because then you have visibility to that product.
Makes sense. You mentioned earlier, George, that an organization really needs a champion to make this happen. What would you say to that person who wants to be the champion in their organization to like bring this to life, make this happen, create these efficiencies, create opportunities to more effectively deploy the workforce, but also just create these operational efficiencies with your guys' technology? What would you say to that champion of I guess just like, where do they need to start to really make this happen, even within their organization?
First is, you know, just get a baseline understanding of where is the RFID technology today in terms of its capabilities. And that's really, you know, visiting, you know, our company and Brian's company and others, and just understand, I want to get educated on this. Companies are very willing to help you do that. And there's a lot of material out there to do that. You know, set up, you know, so you do two things. One is you go, you visit the technology companies to see what's the state of the technology. Show me some labs and like the process flow. I got it. But at the same time, they're bringing forward, here's the problem I'm trying to solve. Because the technology company, we want to understand, what is your process flow? What's the big pain points you're trying to achieve related to, say, you know, whether it be labor and other factors. So there's an education part that happens. You just build a small team internally to basically there's evaluating, and so there's a business partner, then there's a technology partner internally. So you have to have, what are the business KPIs you're trying to achieve and then you do an investigation of the technology. You want to do a pilot. So usually you do a proof of tech to support your ROI, to do a pilot of certain categories, and that pilot will then turn into, you know, scale and roll out over time. So I would say be patient, learn quickly. We're here to help the champion become, you know, knowledgeable and support them. But they also want to have a business partner internally with executive buy-in, because you need the executive buy-in. Business is trying to solve a business problem, and then the technology champion is trying to create the solution, you know, to help make that a reality. So it's a journey, but I think that learning part is a really important part, and it's easier today than it has been in the past.
Yeah, I mean, I would add that the champion within the organization is very key to understanding what this technology innovation can provide the organization. Typically, in many cases, what we've found at PLM TrustLink, it starts really in the operations area, because again, they're looking at ways to leverage labor more efficiently, look at operational processes, how do they become more effective with the product that they're managing all the way through their, you know, their ecosystem, if you will. That champion is really pretty critical to that. Even though RFID has been around for decades and decades, the solution continues to get better and better, but we're still not at that commodity level yet. Usually what happens, 95 times out of 100, the conceptual use of RFID is architected, and then it's put into place in the form of a proof of concept or a proof of value. And then you move into more of a pilot stage to really get the benefits of what you saw in the early goings of that POC. And then you're able to really roll that out and scale it. The wonderful thing that's going on in the industry today is there are a tremendous amount of partners within the industry that have full capability to scale. So now we're really at that stage where let's talk to the champion within the organization. Let's map out what they're really trying to do. Let's get some POCs or some pilots even running within their organization. And then we get to that scale. Once, especially as we're talking about the food industry here, once a lot of organizations, many organizations, not one or two, but once many organizations start to see the benefit of RFID and start to implement that, then all of a sudden the champions start to come out and are more interested, because now they've seen organizations deploy it. Now they're looking at, you know, in business model parlance, they're looking at first followers, right? People that were the evangelists, were the first, you know, to market with this type of technology. And then all of a sudden you get that second layer of organizations that got it, understood it. Now they're trying to squeeze out the best benefits to that. Now all of a sudden you start seeing RFID technologies as a commodity, and it starts running. And I think, and George, you can correct me on this, but I think in retail, it is starting to become more of a understood technology. I wouldn't call it a commodity by any stretch, but in the retail industry, retail space alone, at least everybody understands what RFID is doing. And in the food industry, frankly, organizations are still trying to figure that out.
Yeah, I think retail definitely well understood, because, you know, the diffusion of innovation, you know, Brian, as you alluded to, around early adopters, early innovators, that exactly, just reflecting on how apparel market adopted RFID, it was amazing. It followed that to a T in terms of early innovators had support from the top. They had a very specific problem with a category that they wanted to overcome, and they adopted the technology even at, you know, the cost points that was, you know, 20 plus years ago. So the word, you know, commodity, you know, it's, I know that the industries are different, but the value you get from your labor savings and labor redeployment, your sales lifts, your shrink, all of those things play into the return on your investment. So as the champion, as the C-level executive, it is an investment of a technology, but it actually becomes your base platform that you base everything else off of, because you now have 99% accurate data. You can feed that into your forecasting. you can flex your labor force appropriately, you know, seasonality, different things like that. So that's where I feel like I know this wholeheartedly, is that the you know, good data in, you can do wonderful things. And even at a conference years ago, just speaking of data for a second, it was at NRF show in New York, and Tableau had a very nice section where they had different customers who were using Tableau, and they talked about how they were using it. And I believe this was Chick-fil-A at the time, but it was just, they talked about how they used the data from all sources to kind of plan how they would prepare and prep the kitchen and the behind the counter for the next wave of the lunch crowd or for the dinner crowd. So they were using data to make decisions on how they would prep and prepare. RFID can do that as well, and other aspects of supply chain, and it allows that data is a key element so that you can leverage your workforce appropriately and targeted to the value adds that you want for the process.
Awesome. Well, I think what's clear is that, you both talked about just the importance and the value of someone being educated and trained in this technology and the impact and the use case and knowing how it works, really to take it back to their org. And it sounds like both of your organizations have a lot of resources and are huge on that, on providing the training, providing the education, really being a partner and helping through that pilot program. Yeah, I feel like we could do a whole podcast episode on like how to run a successful pilot for this, because that's just like so critical to like nail the pilot and like take the learnings from that and like implement it at scale. But speaking of another podcast episode, the next episode is going to be all about customer success by reducing claims and credits. So be sure to tune in again and to hear that next time, the next conversation. But George, Brian, thank you so much for your insight and your industry expertise. Is there any last burning thing that you want to share to wrap up this conversation and this discussion?
I would just say to people who are looking at RFID, just lean into it. It will open your eyes. We're here to help. And if you're not using RFID, you should be, because there's hidden benefits that you may not realize that you can get with the technology.
Yep. And I would add that when you look at your operations, specifically in the food industry, the food space, look at what your standard operating procedures are today. Look at where your pain points are today. And then just really take a step back and consider technologies like RFID, like PLM TrustLink software, marrying that platform together to make things more effective, make things more efficient, both at the labor level, as well as inventory management level, and frankly, all the way out to your customer. I mean, wouldn't that be a great thing to confirm with your customer each and every day that you're dropping off product for them, that everything that they ordered was there 100%, it's 100% quality, it meets, expiration dates, et cetera, et cetera. All those components that make up for what we would call, a perfect delivery in the food industry space. RFID technology, PLM TrustLink software, that whole solution can enable that ecosystem to happen. But you have to take a step back and really look at your current operations and then just do the what if discussions, with yourself and with people within your organization. What if we did this? What if we... what if we learned about this and then instituted something like a proof of concept or a pilot? Let's get it out there and let's test it. And let's put the proof right there out on the table for everybody.
What if?
What if?
I love it. Well, thank you guys for your expertise.
Thank you, Matt, for having us.
Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it.